morning we're going to look at Christ's encounter with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And the story is found in Luke chapter 24. And we'll be looking at verses 13 through 35. And just to kind of locate where we are, the resurrection has taken place. In fact, if you look back at Luke chapter 24, and we're going to talk about that more tonight as far as the details of when what takes place in each of the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you look at the early part of Luke chapter 24, you'll see that the events take place where they come to the tomb, they find the stone rolled away, and verse 8, they remember His words, and then we see it goes all the way down, and we have verse 12, Peter running to the tomb. So these things have taken place, and now we have yet another appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to some of His disciples. And so these two are on the road to Emmaus when they are approached by an individual. And so let's pick up in verse 13. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Now they tell me that would be about 8 miles, about 8 miles from Jerusalem. Verse 14. "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them." Verse 16. "But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him." So you understand, Jesus joins them on the road, but they don't know who it is. And in verse 17, "And He said unto them, What manner of communication are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And you know, little passages like this, we kind of get a glimpse into the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's somewhat humorous that here He comes up to them and they are distraught and they're talking about their Savior has been taken and crucified and they don't understand. They expected the Messiah to come and be victorious and completely overthrow all of the Jews' enemies. And now they have just seen this person who they put all their faith and trust in, crucified on a cross. And they're upset as they walk and talk, and they're having a heated conversation back and forth between themselves. And Jesus comes up and He says, "What's all this talk about somebody being crucified?" You know, He asks, "You know, what is it that you're talking about?" When He indeed is the center of everything that they've been talking about. In verse 18. He says, "What manner of communication," excuse me, in verse 17, "What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Verse 18, "And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them," what things? He wants to hear it from them. "And they said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have Him crucified. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into His glory?" Now they still don't know who He is. Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." Now, can you just imagine that? As Jesus starts in Genesis and begins going through every story that they were familiar with, even from, you know, small boys they had been taught in the synagogue, and He begins to reveal to them how all of those stories relate to God's redemption plan through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It says in verse 28, "They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening." Now it's interesting, they don't know this stranger, but he knows the Word of God so well, he's become an instant friend, and they want to know more of what he has to say. They say, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. So they realize it was Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and then he vanishes away from them. Verse 32. I like what they say here. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I've entitled this morning's message, "Encountering the Resurrected Christ." You see, these men, as they walked down the road, they were downtrodden, they were discouraged, they were heartbroken. They had placed all their faith and trust upon this one figure, this Jesus of Nazareth. And now they didn't understand what was going on. They were perplexed. They were confused. They didn't understand why the things that had taken place had happened. But you know what? All of that changed. All of that changed when they had an encounter with the resurrected Christ. And you know what? You may be here this morning. You may be confused. You may be perplexed. You may wonder why you're on this earth. You may wonder, what is life all about? And I want you to understand this morning, you will understand your purpose, and your confusion will change when you have an encounter with the resurrected Christ. And that's why I submit to you this morning, you must encounter the resurrected Christ. Everyone here this morning needs to have a personal encounter with the person that we speak of this morning, this Jesus Christ who is risen from the dead. You must encounter the resurrected Christ. It's interesting what Jesus says to them and how his personality shows as he walks up to these two as they're downtrodden, as they're heartbroken, and says to them, What are these things that you're talking about? And they say, "What? Don't you understand? Where have you been? Haven't you seen the news? Don't you know what's going on? This is big stuff. This is all anybody's talking about." And Jesus says, "What things?" And he hears it from them. But by the end of that conversation, Jesus has revealed himself to them, and they have a completely different outlook on life. And my friend, you must experience the same thing that those two men on the road to Emmaus experienced. You must have an encounter with the resurrected Christ. And the reason why you must have an encounter with him very quickly this morning, first of all, the result of that encounter, the first thing I see that happened with them is that their eyes were opened. And if you encounter the resurrected Christ, indeed, your eyes will be open. It's interesting that the longer Cleopas talked to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more he indicted himself and his friend for their unbelief. Look at verse 22. In fact, let's back up to verse 21. And notice as he begins to talk, he gives all the proofs of why he ought to be believing that the Lord is risen. Verse 21, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Now look at verse 22. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when we were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body." Okay, number one, he has witnesses that have been to the tomb who have found no body there. That should have been one clue that the Lord has risen. Then he says, "saying that they had also seen a vision of angels." So not only are the witnesses saying that the tomb is empty, they're saying the angels have declared unto them that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. You see, as he continues, he makes himself more and more guilty for not believing. And verse 24, "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not." You see, they had everything they needed to believe. The proof was there. But you know, they weren't able to understand until Jesus took the Word of God and expounded it to them. I'm reminded of how in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we're told, "Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? By the Word of God." And here we see that illustrated vividly in the lives of these men on the way to Emmaus. As they know the information, but yet they still are unable to grasp what it all means. But as Jesus opens the Word to them, they begin to understand what has taken place. You see, the real problem with those two men, it wasn't their heads. They knew all of the facts. The problem was their heart. And you know, there are people who will go through life, they will know all the facts about Jesus Christ, but yet they never allow it to get into their heart. They never allow it to affect them in such a way as they depend completely upon Him for salvation. And my friend, if that's your condition, you, just like those men on the road to Emmaus, you need to see Jesus for who He really is. You need to have your eyes indeed opened this morning. If you have an encounter with Him, your eyes indeed will be open. It's kind of like the story, the famous theologian, Karl Barth. He was on a streetcar one day in Basel, Switzerland, where he lectured. There was a tourist who had come to the city. He climbed on that streetcar and he sat down next to Karl Barth. The two men started chatting with each other. "Are you new to the city?" Barth inquired. "Yes," said the tourist. To which Karl Barth replied, "Is there anything you would particularly like to see in this city?" "Yes," said the tourist. "I would love to meet the famous theologian, Karl Barth. Do you know him?" Barth replied, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do. In fact, I give him a shave every morning." And to which the tourist got off the streetcar, quite delighted, went back to his hotel, saying to himself, "I met Karl Barth's barber today." You see, he didn't realize that he was sitting and talking to Karl Barth, that theologian that he wanted to meet. You know, and in the same way, just like those men on the road to Emmaus, they were walking and talking with him, and they didn't see him until Jesus had expounded and revealed the Scripture to them, and then their eyes were opened. And my friend, I hope this morning that your eyes have been open to who Jesus really is. He's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. He is very God come in the flesh. He went to the cross. He was sinless. He died not for His own sins, but He died for our sins. And I'm happy to tell you this morning, we don't celebrate this day in vain. He rose from the dead. My friend, the tomb is empty. And because of that, if you'll see Him for who He really is, and you can trust Him alone for salvation, then you can have the salvation that He provides. You can have the forgiveness of your sin, and you can have a home with Him in heaven. And just as He rose from the dead, you have a promise, if you've accepted that gift of salvation, that someday He will raise you from the dead as well, and you will be able to live with Him eternally in that wonderful place called heaven. My friend, you need to have an encounter with Jesus Christ this morning, just like those men on the road to Emmaus did. You need to have your eyes opened and see Jesus for who He really is. Not only will your eyes be opened if you have an encounter with this risen Messiah, but my friend, also your heart will burn within. Notice what they say in verse 32, and really verse 31 down through 33 and 34, we really get the results of this encounter. The first result, their eyes are open. Verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened the Scriptures to us?" You know, not only will having an encounter with Jesus Christ result in seeing Him for who He really is, the only way to heaven, the real Messiah who is risen from the dead, but it will also result in a yearning within your life, a burning within your heart to get to know Him better, to understand the Word of God and to realize all that He is. What a wonderful opportunity these two men had as they walked on that road and they had Jesus Christ Himself come alongside them and explain to them everything in the Word of God regarding Himself. That's quite a Bible conference, amen? You don't get much better speaker than that. You don't get a better speaker than Jesus Christ, amen? And He expounded to them everything about Him. I like what Wiersbe says about this. He says, perhaps Jesus started at Genesis 3:15. Those of you that know, that passage talks about, that's the first place in the Bible that speaks of the Redeemer, speaking that His seed will triumph, that man will bruise the head of the serpent, Genesis 3:15. He says, the first promise of the Redeemer, and trace that promise through the Scriptures. He may have lingered at Genesis 22, which speaks of Abraham placing his beloved Isaac upon the altar. Surely He touched on the Passover, says Wiersbe, on the Levitical sacrifices, the tabernacle ceremonies, the Day of Atonement, the serpent in the wilderness, the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, and the prophetic messages of Psalm 22 and 69. Can you imagine Jesus going through those passages and revealing the truths about the Messiah? And then I like what Wiersbe says here. He says, the key to understanding the Bible is to see Jesus Christ on every page. Do you understand that? The key to understanding the Word of God is to see Jesus Christ on every page. He says He did not teach them only doctrine or prophecy. He taught them all things concerning Himself. What a wonderful experience those men had as Jesus revealed the Scriptures to them. And their response to what took place, did not our hearts burn within us as He revealed the Scripture to us? Listen to what Spurgeon says regarding Christ being central in everything in the Bible. He says, the best sermon is that which is most full of Christ. A Welsh minister, when preaching at the chapel of my dear brother Jonathan George, was saying that Christ was the sum and substance of the gospel. And he broke out into the following story. He says, a young man had been preaching in the presence of a venerable older minister. And after he had finished, he foolishly went and asked the older minister, what do you think of my sermon, sir? A very poor sermon indeed, said the older man, because there was no Christ in it. Don't you know, young man, that from every town and every village and every little hamlet in England, wherever it may be, there is a road to London? Yes, said the young man. Ah, said the old minister. And so from every text in Scripture, there is a road to the metropolis of the Scriptures, that is, Christ. And my dear brother, your business is when you get to a text to say, now what is the road to Christ? And then preach a sermon running along the road toward that great metropolis, Christ. He says, I have never yet found a text that had not a plain and direct road to Christ in it. And if I ever should find one that has no such road, I will make a road. I would go over hedge and ditch, but I would get to my master. For a sermon is neither fit for the land nor yet for the garbage heap unless there is a savor of Christ in it. Amen. How true. My friend, what we celebrate today, this is what it's all about. Amen. He is alive. He is not still in the tomb. He's not dead. They don't have the bones of Jesus somewhere over in Jerusalem. He is indeed alive. And He's what the whole book is about. My friend, if you miss that, then you have missed everything. Does your heart burn within you to learn more and more about the central topic of this book, Jesus Christ? You know, if you want to experience Jesus Christ, if you really want to encounter Him like those men on the road to Emmaus, then you need to study the Word of God. Does your heart burn to know Him more? Does your heart yearn to know more about Jesus Christ? heard a story about a blind girl. Her friends gave her a Bible that was Braille. You know how it has raised letters on it so that blind people can feel the bumps and can know what is being written there in the book. But this little girl lost the sensitivity in her fingers to be able to feel the bumps of Braille. And she could not read the Bible any longer. So she would take her Braille Bible to another blind friend so that that friend would be able to feel and read the sweet messages from the Word of God. It was while she was at her friend's one day, as she was carrying it over, she held that book up to her lips and she kissed it once. It was as she kissed it that she realized that her lips could feel the bumps of the Braille that spelled out the Word of God. And so she began taking her Bible and using her lips to feel the Braille and read the Word of God. She commented, "I have found that when I read with the mind, I get nothing compared with what I receive when I put my heart up against it." My friend, how much do you love the Word of God? Does your heart burn? Does your heart yearn to know more about Him? Because my friend, if you've really had an encounter with Christ, not only will it open your eyes, but it will cause your heart to burn within. And then lastly this morning, it'll cause your tongue to tell others. It'll open your eyes, it'll cause your heart to burn within, and it'll also cause your tongue to tell the story of the resurrection. Look what takes place in verse 35. "And they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in breaking of bread." You know, if you've really had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be able to help but tell others about it. Having an experience with Christ will result in you being a witness to that experience, and you being a witness to the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ. You know, the best evidence that we have that we in truth have encountered Jesus Christ and that we have experienced the resurrected Christ is, are we excited about sharing it with others? You know, think about what a difference it would make in our church if everybody who gathered came together just to tell about the living Christ. You know, that's what church ought to be. It ought to be believers coming together and talking about what Jesus means to them and how great our Lord indeed is. Wiersbe, talking about this very subject, he comments this. He says, "If our services are dead, it is probably because we are not really walking with and listening to the living Savior." My friend, this morning, if you feel like you're dead in your witness, dead in your testimony, you never open your mouth to share the news of the resurrection with anyone, family, friend, co-worker, you never tell them about what Christ has done, it very well may be that the reason that you don't do that is because you don't have an active relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you indeed had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? Does your heart burn to know Him more? And is your tongue ready to give witness and tell about the risen Savior? On the Easter, just before He died, D. William Sangster painfully printed a short note to his daughter. He was a deeply spiritual Methodist, and he had been spearheading a renewal movement in the British Isles after World War II. Then his ministry, except for prayer, was ended by a disease which progressively paralyzed his body, even his vocal cords. You can imagine what a horrible disease that must have been for this preacher who loved to proclaim the Word of God, to have a disease which paralyzed his body and finally reached even his vocal cords so that he could not preach. But it said that the last Resurrection Sunday that this man spent on earth, D. William Sangster, still able to move his fingers, he wrote this. He said, "How terrible to wake up on Easter and have no voice to shout, 'He is risen.'" Then he wrote, "Far worse to have a voice and not want to shout." How true. He wanted to shout, was not able to. How many believers who are able to speak and talk freely with no problems will not use their voice to tell about this monumental day where we celebrate the empty tomb? Let it not be said of us that we don't give witness to the empty tomb, that we don't give witness to the resurrected Christ. If you've had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, then it will open your eyes. You'll see Jesus for who He really is. And then it will cause your heart to burn within. You'll have a yearning to know more about that Savior. You'll want to dive into the Word of God and learn everything you can about Him. And then it'll affect your tongue. You'll be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, this morning, have you had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? And as we conclude here this morning, I want you to look at what happens in verse 36. Right after all this takes place, after they go back and they explain what they have experienced, look at what happens in verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You know, indeed, if you've had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, if your eyes have been opened, if your heart burns within, and you get so fired up that you begin to be a witness to co-workers and friends and neighbors, don't be surprised if Jesus doesn't show up again. Amen? That's what will happen when we truly have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see the power of God on your life? You want to experience Jesus Christ in your day-to-day walk? You want Jesus to show up in your life? Then I would encourage you this morning, you have an encounter with Jesus just like those men on the road to Emmaus did. Because once you have that encounter, it'll indeed open up your eyes. It will cause your heart to burn within. And it will cause you to tell and be a witness and a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, and the empty tomb.